My dad died and now I'm funny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Cry Me a River. Moving on to...
Wham!
Comedian Amber Autry, welcome to the freaking show.
My sister was like, hey, the next special you film, can you be like nice to me? That's up to you, my dog. The moment I wake up. No, I had...
You have a nice voice.
Don't make me sing.
You didn't get here today just because of how normal you are. Girlfriend. You got a story.
We're safe, right? We're safe. We're safe. That's basically the bottom line question.
I don't know. Are we?
No. I like your laugh.
That's a little evil. We got to start this thing.
Okay. I thought we did.
Yeah, we probably are wrong. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Rooted Recovery Stories. I'm Patrick Custer. So glad that each and every one of you are here. I hope you're glad, too, especially at the end of this episode, because I have a feeling it's going to be one heck of a roller coaster. We are here to talk to my friend about recovery. We talk about recovery of all forms on this episode. As Walker Hayes says, we as humanity are recovering from all kinds of things, just being human. Mm. And one of those things today is, gosh, I'm not even going to put it in a box. We're going to unwrap it slowly.
Oh, I love that.
Comedian Amber Autry, welcome to the freaking show.
I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited too.
I feel it like in my vagina.
Bubbling. Oh my God.
Am I allowed to say vagina?
I don't know, but you did.
Okay. I should have asked before if I could curse on here.
You don't act like you cared.
Okay. You're right.
So my first question really is, and I didn't know if I was going to ask this, but I feel like it's so deserved now. Can you flip your hair around really quick?
Oh, I would love to.
So my question, I literally wrote, how did you know? How old were you when you knew you were this effed up?
Straight out of the wound.
Right. Okay. So if you're on any form of visuals, you can see right now that your shirt says,
my dad died and now I'm funny. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that this isn't something Amber bought. She's literally, it's her merch. So I love that you own it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So really though, straight out of the womb, we talked a little bit about this before. You shared with me, like, I've been on stage in one form or another.
Yeah. Since the jump, man. I used to charge my family a quarter to get into the living room to see me perform.
You did that too?
You did that?
Yeah. I had a stage. Did you?
Wow. No.
Oh, yeah.
Who built the stage?
I mean, it was the fireplace hearth, but I owned it.
Stop. Yeah. I knew you were a performer. I knew it.
How much did you make by the time you were five?
Wait, you have books? I have no idea.
Oh.
Not enough.
Yeah. Well.
How much did you make?
I don't know. I spent it all. I'm bad with money.
Are you?
No. But it was...
No, I'm rich.
It felt funny. So, all right. So you charged family quarter. Did they pay you the quarters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always had like a super...
Was it like Aldi though? Did you give them back so they come back to your show?
Absolutely not.
The Aldi cart, you know?
Yeah, no. I was like, these are mine now. They're like, we saw this show last week. I'm like, well, look.
Give me new material and I'll make... Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, your family's like isn't it the first layer of like comedy they start out with?
1,000%.
Yeah.
I still talk about my family.
Right, me too. I mean, I'm not a comedian, but...
Yeah. My sister was like, hey, the next special you film, can you be like nice to me?
To which you said,
we'll see.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I wasn't mean to her, but I kind of just didn't respond because, you know.
Yeah. You can't make no promises.
I'm just going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And if it's
I would have said, well, depends on how you act between now and then.
Exactly. That's up to you, my dog.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you start performing, you go through life, like how, like, were you doing funny things? Did you know what you wanted to do? Because, I mean, were you singing songs?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to perform, like, acting, making people laugh. That was my jam. maybe it was a little bit rooted in like
rooted.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Thanks for throwing that in there.
Of course. Okay. Well, you paid me to do it, so mm-hmm. I'm gonna get my quarter, you know.
Oh, okay.
In like, you know, I lost my dad young.
How old were you?
I was 3.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which I didn't think affected me. And then I taught 3 and 4 year olds mm-hmm. and I was like, oh shit. They're so perceptive, so smart.
Yeah.
Like little sponges. So I'm like, yeah, I definitely, and like I was there when he died, like watched. So I'm like, oh yeah, I was affected.
Yeah, we're hardwired from birth to 5.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of people like, well, I won't speak for a lot of people, but I didn't think about that. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what happened when I was 3, you know? Mm-hmm. But I definitely like it affected my relationships and, you know, how I moved in the world, maybe a little bit of like attention seeking. Not me.
I also can't relate to that at all.
Mm.
That was a joke.
So, but also it's a gift. So that's a hard,
right? You gotta, you know, like anything, I always say like your greatest strengths can be also your Achilles heel if you don't find balance. So
yeah. Yeah.
Lean into the danger.
Oh, I love that. You have to.
Yeah. Toe that line.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my gosh. So, dad died. Didn't mm-hmm. think it messed with you. You're like, I'm going to be a strong hard ass and just make it through life, right?
Yeah, just like my mom.
Yep. Okay, so your mom's a strong woman.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
So like, I, you know, this is like a lot to just like put out there, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's just what happened. Like, so my dad was abusive. Mm. She shot my dad.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, because there was like, there was just a risk that night of him hurting us.
Yeah.
And she went to jail for it.
Wow.
So like pretty much like a year after it happened, she went to jail.
Was it it was obviously self-defense,
yes.
But they clearly ruled that it was some sort of, you went too far.
Yeah. Well, it was a small town. It was really cool because we got the transcripts. Like I wrote a play about it. And really? So we had the transcripts.
Wow.
And it was crazy because the cops were like, yeah, we've been there several times for DV, but they were saying it like, but it wasn't real. They were kind of siding with my dad's family, and because it was like a small town, they were more well known. Like mm-hmm. it was just rough to read. But yeah, she went to jail, got a felony.
Wow.
Which just, no one will hire you after that,
right?
You know, so like, she's got me and my sister, 2 kids, and like taught herself how to weld because no one would hire her. So she's wow. just always been a badass.
Respect.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, okay, so aside from your dad dying at 3,
mm-hmm.
mom going to
exactly jail,
you clearly had somebody else raised you, right? Like you.
Yeah, I was with my grandparents.
Okay, mm-hmm. So primary caregivers completely changed for you over,
yeah.
What, seemingly overnight?
Yeah. Sort of.
I mean, like, and that's a big thing.
It's a lot, man.
Were you, how many, do you have any siblings?
I have a sister.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is she funny?
Oh, so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we both have trauma, so we're funny.
Right.
Yeah, she's hilarious. I love her so much.
I saw a meme the other day. So it was like, you know, you don't get this funny naturally. It was like all the childhood trauma, something like that.
It's
totally butchering it.
But, I get what you're saying. Know, have you ever met like a pretty person that hasn't really struggled a lot?
And yeah,
you're like,
they're
wow,
so boring.
They're so boring.
Right.
You say one thing like, I'm tired. And they're like, ah, you're crazy. You know?
Yep. Yep.
You're like, you don't know the half of it.
Gosh. I just like thought of 20 different people all at once that I know. Bless their hearts.
I know.
Where are you from?
Cookeville, Sparta, Tennessee.
Oh.
Do you know about that?
Well, I mean, I'm from here, so sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I passed it on the highway.
Yeah. Well, I went on a field trip once or twice out there. We were looking at corn or wheat or something.
Stop. Sounds so fun. We have caves out there
and cows and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great place.
Yeah, it's, I do love it.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm, it is.
It really is. So you're a Middle Tennessee native.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just moved back here, actually.
Oh.
And love it so much. I was in Chicago for a while.
Awesome. Love Chicago.
I know. Chicago's great.
We have better weather, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh. Okay, so go to live with your grandparents. Life is lifing.
Yeah, dude. It was like a... And I've just realized this in therapy, but like back-to-back loss of people.
Yeah.
You know, in that year, my mom like was dating someone. And as a young kid, I was like, oh, this is my new dad. Mm-hmm. And then he left. It was like a back-to-back, like people leave.
Yep.
I can't trust connection, you know? Mm. It was, and that just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It just explains college, you know?
Oh gosh, I can't wait to get to college.
Can we skip?
No, because just that right there tells me like whatever's in between we got.
I mean, it was the same experience that everyone had.
Okay. So you got picked on and...
Oh, no. College, I was cool.
No, I meant the in between.
Oh, yeah. I was bullied.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
1,000%. I think that if you're not bullied, your adult life is going to be very hard.
Right. You end up one of those pretty people that's not funny and nobody really wants to talk to you, but your Instagram looks dope.
Exactly. And sometimes I pray, I'm like, God, please let me be funny in the next life. Like, I don't care if I'm like a bug or whatever, but let me be a funny bug, you know?
Funny bug.
It's very important to me.
I think that like I'm gonna change your contact in my phone to Funny Bug.
Oh, I love that.
It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
New merch line.
I'm always right. Merch it up.
Just like recognize me in something that like you know,
again, attention.
What? Okay. So bullied, school, it's hard. Cry me a river, moving on to But yeah. then it got real. Like you got to be an adult. You go to college, mm-hmm. and
I got Christian.
You got Christian.
Yeah, I caught it. Yeah.
Where did you go to college?
I went to UT Knoxville.
That's a public school.
What are you saying?
Well, so you say you got Christian.
Oh, well, You know what?
I don't.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I got Christian before I went to college.
Oh.
But I was a Christian a lot of college.
Yes.
So it you know, kept me from doing too much until right up to the end.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was real Christian in college. It didn't keep me from doing too much.
Oh. Yeah. You grew up Christian then?
Yeah. So... Yeah.
My family wasn't Christian. That was my like rebellion is to
see,
be Christian.
I was doing whatever I inherited. So like at that point my faith was like practice because of avoiding good or bad consequences, right? Or you know like that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
I think it's different for people who actually develop like they're driven towards faith on their own.
Right.
And so my story is a little different. Like I kind of veered away from it and then I've come back in my own way, you know?
Yes.
And
what
so,
denomination were you?
Non-denominational, but essentially Pentecostal.
Same.
Higher the hair, the closer to God.
Let's go, baby.
Okay.
Falling out on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm like, is someone going to help that woman?
They're Nobody like, knows good. That hurt. See, like that's why the hair is so big. You've got to have a landing pad for that noggin. I mean, they have people there to catch you if you get slain in the spirit. But if, you know, sometimes it's, there aren't enough ushers all at once.
I know, they go dead. The Holy
Spirit, the Holy Spirit hits and bam.
Isn't that pretty interesting though?
It's very fascinating when I look back at it because I don't participate in a church like that now. And, you know, just the way that my faith looks different, but, I respect and embrace, you know, like all, like I'm not, you know, whatever, but it's just, you know, like when you're, yeah, looking at that from a different perspective from being in on the outside, looking back. Yes, it is different.
Mm-hmm. There's still something in there though, to me.
Yeah.
Spirit, something.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. That hair.
You went to like a Pentecostal, like mm-hmm. skirt wearing.
Camp meeting.
Wow. Okay. We yeah. were a little more modern.
Oh. You were more sophisticated. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Your eyes did.
This is a little off topic and we don't have to stay there forever, but your teeth are so white.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my skin's that white, actually. That's why I get spray tans.
No. I like your laugh.
That's a little evil. Can't help it. Like I said, gotta lean in. All right. So you got exposed to non-denominational, or what was your?
Yeah, Church of God.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to Lee University for
Shut
my freshman year.
Shut the front
year.
Door. I will not. You went to Lee?
It wasn't for me. I only stayed a year, came back, and went to Belmont.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, Lee University was like everybody's like Broadway in Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll go to Lee, but first you'll meet your husband. You'll da-da-da-da.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you know a lot about Lee?
I mean, what do you
oh
know
no I was just gonna say I was so I did so I was part of I was one of their showcase choirs there.
Shut up.
I bet you can't guess which one.
I
was part of the evangelistic singers called EVS, and at the time, this is my favorite story to tell about it, because you just picture me, right?
Okay.
Our costume, I mean, like, we traveled around the country like singing at different yeah. churches and conferences and stuff like that when we weren't doing school. Our uniform was long-tailed, bright fire engine red tuxedos with a black Oxford shirt, black belt, and I can't remember. I think the black like, you know, nice black shoes, tuxedo shoes. Yes.
Did you feel good in that?
I mean, I felt like I did. You know, I remember being like, I don't want to go anywhere by myself. When I'm wearing this, I only want to be in the group. So it's clear that this wasn't my choice alone.
Yeah. Was there drama in the
Look, it
choir?
Was also like 2005. Oh. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, fashion was a little different.
Was that low-rise era?
Hell, I don't know. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We'll just say yes.
It was. Okay. There were a lot of choices going on back then.
There sure were.
What am I saying? There's a lot of choices going on right now. Okay. Choir, Church of God. Wow. Yes. We mm-hmm. have so much we can relate on.
Yeah. I know.
So you found God in Christianity, went to school. You were in UT Knoxville. What happened in college?
What happened in college?
Yeah.
I always knew that I wanted to get out. Like, I was like, my goal was set on Chicago. I want to do like da da da. Are you saying what stopped me from being like a Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, when you think about themes that happened in college, like what went on for you?
Yeah, man. I mean, this is like so to talk about, but like. You know.
Yeah, that's why I want you to talk about
it. When Trump became president.
Oh. Wait, you were in college then?
Wasn't I?
How old are you?
Wait, how old am I? I'm 33.
Yeah. Wasn't it 26?
What year is it?
You were not in college. Girlfriend.
I'm 17.
I'm like, you do not look as old as me. I'll give you that.
22. But. Okay, hold on. Wait. In college, Trump started running?
I don't think so.
What is happening to my life?
I don't know.
He was around.
So clearly drugs were part of your college experience.
Where was Trump? He
doing
was affecting
The Apprentice?
Me. Do I remember The Apprentice?
No, I said he was doing The Apprentice. I mean, like,
oh,
a celebrity friend. I don't.
Unless college took you 9 years.
No.
Okay, you weren't. He started in 2017.
Okay, then. Okay, help me with this then, because this is what was going. This is what really. So my pastor, one of my pastors, started talking about like Muslims and how they're not people and the border stuff. So was that not Trump doing that stuff?
I don't remember.
See?
So this was the time when I was real sick. I had a brain tumor in 2016 and it was right around. That's when you're talking about. I was very out not paying attention to the
Holy
world.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I graduated college in 2013.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
That was 3 years before 2016.
I feel like people listening to this are like, is this a coded message? You
my point was that it's still your graduation was still earlier than the time period we're speaking
of. Okay. Well, here, okay, forget Trump. Let's cut all of that out.
Okay.
My pastor basically started talking about people like they weren't human, and I was like, "Whoa, you are the person that's been telling me about God this whole time." And so I backed up and I was like, God's who not who I thought he was. And all these people aren't who I thought he was. And I went away from Christianity for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like back and spiritual and like, I don't wear a bra. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Like that.
Braless Christianity is where it's at.
Definitely. This close to a cult.
Yes.
Yeah. But basically like
God says it's okay for you to. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would say she prefers it.
Yep. Yes. So that's a bit of journey. It's like when something, because I know, like I said, from experience, it forces you from a place where you feel at home with your spirituality. And then you're questioning everything related to that. You feel lost.
Yeah.
Super lost. And so...
Yeah.
What did you go to school for?
Theater.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It made me not afraid of the stage.
Like, yeah?
So I feel like that put me like a little bit ahead when stand-up came along.
That's great.
Because I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So when did stand-up come along?
Around 2017.
Okay.
Right when Trump was like in his first. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Wait, was he president then?
Yeah, that's when 2017 is when he stepped into office. Okay. I believe. Yeah. And yeah. And lots of comedians had lots of things to talk about.
Yeah. I don't talk about politics. There ain't nothing funny about politics to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You never joked about any of it?
No.
Really?
Yeah. It's just not... It's not funny to me.
Yeah, I get it too.
Especially the Trump stuff. People, like comedians, are being like, here's my Trump impression. Or like, can you imagine? Can you believe what Trump said? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, right. I agree. That is not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what point did you start to notice that something was off? Do you know what I'm talking about?
In which way?
Well, you didn't get here today just because of how normal you are, girlfriend. You got a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I've been performing, like I said, since I was little. You know, community theater in my living room. My mom, like, I would go to modeling agency, like all these, I was doing everything, you know, and dancing, and every single thing that I did was from start until after the thing happened was, what's a good word for it? I initially want to say like chaos of not feeling good enough, like a little bit of like anxious OCD, like is my hair okay? Is my makeup okay? Do you think they're gonna like me?
But I feel like you're describing my morning routine.
Oh no. I want to give you a hug
slightly. Just kidding, I'm being honest.
No, I like that you're being honest because I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was,
I'm a Leo, right?
Oh, like, cool.
So
I find myself around Leo so often.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a Libra, but yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about you. Sorry, I just brought it back to you, which is such a Leo thing to do. My bad. So
yeah, it was excessive and a lot. And you know, my mom, bless her heart, was like there for me through it. Like, your hair looks good, you're gonna be fine. And I'm crying, and and this was like for years and years and years. And then when I started doing stand-up, mm-hmm. I instantly loved it. I got on the mic, I was like, this is it, dude, mm-hmm. this is it. And after every show, I would have basically mental breakdowns, being like, I fucked up, I didn't do the set right, that person didn't laugh, and I'm just spiral. And it eventually got to the point where I'm like, this is not fun. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, I love it. So like, I have to choose, like, quit doing it because it's driving me absolutely bonkers, or figure it out. Like,
yeah.
So I decided to go to therapy.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I know.
What? Why would you do that?
I know. It was crazy. I know.
So. This is the part that I'm just so excited to talk about. Oh. So therapy's funny. Therapy's funny.
Why do you say that?
Because you go, I love therapy, first of all. Don't get me wrong. I'm not whatever. But like, you go and you sit down and you talk to another person that you're paying, that's trained to listen to all your problems and then give you advice. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, when you think about it from like a really removed perspective, there's just so many elements about that that are funny. I think about the things that I talk about in therapy, and it's just so much of it for me is like, I don't know. You what? Know why it's funny. There's funny elements to it, I think.
I'm interested in what you mean. Like, can you talk more about funny? Like, what do you, like, the stuff you talk about, are you just like, this is silly? Or what do you mean by funny?
Because I go into therapy with an agenda, and my therapist is like,
right,
okay. And then she's clearly like, I've got what I think that we're going to talk about, and then she's like, but then there's this whole other, like, I think I'm going down aisle 5, and she's like, no, we've got to go, you missed a few aisles over here.
Yes, right? Isn't that what keeps me coming back?
I just did a grocery store metaphor, I don't know why, but I like to eat.
Hell yeah, it made sense. That's what keeps me coming back, dude.
Yeah, right. So I think it's funny because of like, I know it's good for me, I go because there's a point, but like, it's funny because so much of the time we feel, speaking for myself, like, I want to think that I have things figured out, or I have control, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And even in my mess, I want to go be like, so here is how I've neatly
packaged
what's wrong and mm-hmm. what I think the solution is.
Yes. My therapist the other day actually was like, you know, you're never going to be like just fixed. And I was like, you watch your mouth. When you're speaking the truth.
See, that's funny.
I was like, damn, you're right though. Like, it's just tools to get through life. Life is going to keep lifing. And
that's
therapy
right.
is just a way to like live more happy, more yes. at peace. So, yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So you got about, okay. We're going to go to, so because I know so much about, I work in mental health. So I know so much about, like, when we talked about what you're about to share with us is like, I think about the tools, like, right. Like when we initially go and it's like, these are my problems, and you think like, you're going to sit there and talk about them, but no, instead of sitting there and talk about them, what was the solution to your problems that the therapist said we were going to do? Drum roll, please. That,
you know what?
That R rolling was really hard.
I want to preface this with, this therapist looked so sweet too. She looked like Taylor Swift. She had cute little blonde hair. I was like,
deceptive.
I'm going to be able to, you know, like, get around this.
Yep.
Absolutely not. She was like, okay, what you're going to do is, we're going to do exposure therapy.
You thought you were going to go to a nudist colony,
which sounds amazing. I've done comedy.
Says the braless Christian.
Merch.
Oh, yeah.
Where there it's just go. Holes cut out where your boobs. And it's like the shirt is a cross. That's good. Write that down. Yeah, exposure therapy, where she's going to force me to be in the most painful situation I could think of, mm-hmm. which is I had to go to all my, so like I had my people that I went to, my mom, my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I was like, these are the two people that will give me the drug. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which again, to label it, it was like the pretty package was basically acceptance and approval.
Reassurance seeking.
Reassurance. Oh, reassurance seeking mm-hmm. specifically.
We're safe, right? We're safe. We're yeah. safe. That's basically the bottom line question.
I don't know. Are we?
Don't make me cry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
And that's what I'm dealing with. Ugh. That's what I'm dealing with now. Mm-hmm. Like I have such a great life, such a great partner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I still have this like fear of losing people, losing stuff, unsafety. And like, so I'm learning to that a safe life and a safe love is not a fairy tale, but also stuff is also going to happen.
That's right.
And that is like being a human is so complex, dude. Mm-hmm. It's so hard because I'm trying to like hold both, you know,
holding both and learning that lovely skill that I just want to spit at people when they say it sometimes, but learning to let go,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, yeah. Let go of the illusion of control.
Yeah.
Right. The listeners didn't. She said never. She mouthed it. There's so much on this show. If you're only the viewers get to pick up on, so you know, if you're exclusively a listener, which we have a lot of, just saying you're missing out.
Go watch. Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, boom.
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot on YouTube, but there's a lot more on audio. People want to listen on the way to work. Listen,
yeah.
Pull up YouTube, put it on your dashboard. You don't need to see how fast you're going. It's fine.
I do sometimes watch Netflix while I drive.
I might do that too. But how do you know Tennessee is like cracking down on, wait, I take that back. I do not watch anything while I drive.
Me neither.
Tennessee is cracking down on.
Except the road.
Yeah. The road. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tennessee's cracking down major on the distracted driving, which is a fancy way of saying having your cell phone in your hand.
Really?
Yes.
I love that for Tennessee because, you know, there's so many like laws and stuff they could be mm-hmm. focusing on. But
yeah.
distracted driving is the one. They should pick.
Well, and I don't know that it really, I don't know that it's going to do like anything. People
How are
still going to be
on it. Just more cops.
I just recently heard about somebody I know that got had a, oh, I feel like I can't even say this story without, let's just say some serious legal consequences because of two getting to, in 1 year, two of those.
Texting tickets?
Yes. And
how do they even know?
How do they know? Well, if you are, if so, I drive a pretty, I drive a Tahoe. Okay. So like I'm typically up higher than most law enforcement.
Solid.
So if I were to be holding my phone while I were driving, even though I don't do that, it's hard. They don't see.
This podcast is brought to you by Promises Behavioral Health. If you or a loved one are struggling with trauma, addiction, or mental health, we are ready to answer your questions and help you take that next step. Call our admission center at 888-648-4098 or visit us online at www.promises.com. Our team is ready and waiting to answer the call for help.
So anyway, I don't know how we got on that tangent. We were talking, distracted driving, breaking down, breaking.
We were talking about exposure therapy, but I don't know how we got to driving.
I'm so ADD. All right. So exposure therapy. So you had to go to, wow, we went way off.
Just admitting to crime.
Do you have any crimes you committed?
Yeah. Everyone I dated in college.
Oh!
A crime to my mental, a crime to my body, a crime to my time.
That was good. That was good. You get snaps for that.
Thank you.
That was really good. Oh, gosh. Okay, so exposure therapy, you had to go to your mom and people close to you and
yes.
say.
And say. The moment I wake up. No, I had.
You have a nice voice.
Don't make me sing.
Oh, okay. If we have time, I just might do that.
Is Lee here? Because I would love to audition.
Lee make, University?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have some calls you can make?
Voices of Lee? I think they're looking for.
I would die.
Comedians that toe the line between.
Imagine me walking in with my breast shirt. I'm here to audition. Okay. I had to go to my mom.
Wait. Can we just talk about how you have a lovely drink behind you with an emotional support cookie?
I'm probably not even going to eat it.
Can you hold it up for the camera? Because I feel like everybody needs to see.
Look how cute it is.
All right. So the cookie is balanced on the top of her flat, the lid, upside down. And I feel like there's some neuroses there because I feel like that was done on purpose. And the cookie's not even fully on the lid. It's like half on, half off. Like, I feel like this is all of it was done.
This is like my baby. Uh-huh. I put her face down so she didn't have to see anything she didn't want to see.
Oh, wow. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. But I could.
It's okay. Go to sleep. Mommy will be right back.
So if you're still listening to us or watching us, we're going to get to the rest of the story. So you go to your family.
Yes. I go to my mom. I go to my boyfriend. I'm like, look, I'm going to come to, you know, those things I say to you every day, every second. I'm yep. not allowed to say those mm-hmm. things anymore, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say them. And here is a script. She like gave me a script or I could write my own. And then when I say this, when I'm like, do you think those people like me? Do you think blah, 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 they have to respond with some form of, I love you. It sounds like you're reassurance seeking right now. And I want to be here for you in like, I want to support you in not doing that. So I'm not gonna respond to that.
I'm not gonna engage.
Yeah. And I was like,
Did they have to use the script?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, so usually I would ask it and they would just look at me and I'd be like, oh, fuck.
You didn't want the script to have to happen, so you just backed off.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the freaking pain in the body
uh-huh.
When they like don't answer. Full on panic, dude. Mm. I feel for myself, and especially my younger self, because I know now like where that stuff is rooted in.
Yep.
And it's just like little me being like, please someone tell me I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know? And it's that reparenting thing of like, you are going to be okay. You are safe.
That's
like
right.
Things have happened in the past, but that's not happening anymore. You're in a safe environment. You're going to be okay. And so, oh my God, it, like, I remember the day I stopped going to that therapist, and it was like, we both mutually agreed. We're like, I haven't perfected it, but
right.
I'm way better. And like, I never thought that I would be healed from that.
Mm.
So it's really fucking cool to like, look back and be like, oh, I'm so proud of myself for taking that choice, taking that step and actually like leaning in and doing the work because
sure.
it made my life way better.
You know, it makes me think of some data that I heard recently from research that I can't quote because I hate reading. But
do you?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I'm an audiobook person.
Okay.
And so, like, if I can watch it, listen to it, I skim stuff on the internet, but I'm not going to, like, actually read the whole article.
No, that's Cliff notes. Crazy.
Right. Who does that? So, anyway. Wow, I'm sharing so much about myself on this episode. So this data talked about how as well-adjusted, healthy adults, we are supposed to be at a place where we get 50% of our self-worth, self-approval, like reassurance, our emotional needs met from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
25% of that should be met from our friends and family. And another 25% of that should be met from a significant other if we're in a relationship.
Wow. I'm surprised they gave that much percentage to outside.
I know. I am too.
Stuff.
It does sound like.
Because I would say maybe lessen that a little bit.
I know. I feel like it feels, if I were going to do, you know, throw some numbers out there, I feel like it should be more like 80% for yourself, 80 self-sufficiency, and then, you know, like 10-10.
I think so too.
So, I don't know. I'm going to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But meaning that, you know, there's a lot that I don't know that a lot of people realize how much there's literally, we at least need half or more self-sufficiency.
Yeah, man.
Right, of our emotional needs. And I think so many of us look for that from, we're trying to self-soothe and cope and whatever from discomfort, anxiety, avoidance of feeling whatever through unhealthy coping of any kind, right? Like for you, and you're explaining that it's like my coping was I had to have somebody else outside of me constantly tell me it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that makes me so sad.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad.
But I think so. One reason why I told you this before, and I think still believe it's so true, is that so many of us can relate to what you're talking about, and maybe not the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're really, truly honest with ourselves, there are so many ways that we seek outside validation for our lack of truly looking at fulfilling that majority percentage that we need to fulfill within ourselves, which is sitting through the icky emotions, which is saying, okay, well, what if I'm not safe? What's worst case scenario? Can I make peace with that? Like, if it's gonna happen, can I make peace with that? Like, I have no control over it.
Right. And also, like, building that thing of like, it's not going to happen in the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think of like the stuff with my dad and my mom and like all that like chaos as like a 3 to 5 year old. That, like, I've built a safer environment for myself. I have like more tools now. Like, you're not going to wind up in the same
spot. Well, and you have so much more agency as an adult than you do as a child.
Yes.
Right. So, and it's I think it's hard to, when things like that happen as a kid, to like go to the logical place of your mind and identify like exactly like what you said. Things don't happen the same as they do in childhood. Like, I can be resourceful and find solution.
Right.
And I have choice where you don't have as much choice and you don't have lived experience.
Right.
At that age.
Yeah. And that's why I love talking to my younger self, like younger self. Ugh, there's so much like juice in being like, when an emotion comes up and being like, which part of myself is saying this? Is it my teenage self, my kid self? How old am I? And like having a conversation with that part. It's just so, you learn so much from that.
So how, other than, you know, the exposure therapy, when you talk about what made a difference for you in transforming how you relate to yourself and find and self-support, self-acceptance, self-worth, reassurance, all those things, what else did that look like on the trajectory? And then what does it look like today when you find yourself in a place of distress?
Yeah, great question. I began to focus right around the time I saw the exposure therapy thing. I began to focus on how I can cultivate self-love for myself. Because being a comedian in that world, especially, it's very typical for people to be like, yeah, I suck, or like, life sucks, I'm stupid, I'm not funny. You know, comedians are sometimes like, yeah, we shit on each other, we shit on ourselves. That's the game. And I'm like, that's not the game. So I worked hard on, when people ask me like what popped off your stand-up career, I'm like, it was believing in myself. Mm. I remember just like leaning up against the counter and being like, I'm funny, I'm smart, I'm good at what I do. So it was like a lot of that, of reminding myself of those things. And that's something I'm still working on. I've definitely got better at it. Like, you know, I'm currently in therapy now and I love it. And I'm working on, I mean, again, it's, we just like last session discovered that it's rooted in some of my like Christianity trauma, like some things of like self-worth and trusting myself and not being like, what does God think? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So currently I'm working on like self-trust and realizing that there doesn't have to be chaos in my life. Mm. Like my love life is good. My career is good. It's not going anywhere. Like I feel comfortable in chaos and I'm working on feeling more comfortable in peace, that things are just good.
Oh yeah.
And that's gonna, I can see the journey ahead of me and I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna get there. But like, it's a interesting to like see the path and be like, oh, can't wait until I'm over there.
Right.
That's gonna be fun.
Didn't your therapist just tell you you're never gonna get there though?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
How?
What kind of person would I be if I didn't support you in breaking through the delusion?
Yeah. Well, okay, but here, let me say, I can clearly see when I was asking for recovery and on the other side of that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. I was I was just bringing a full circle, trying to be funny. But you know, we're such a destination culture of like, when I have this, when I get there, when I whatever, and that that translates to, for those of us who are constantly working on ourselves, we have to realign our expectations, right? Like, it's healing is not a when I get there. It's a what can I do today to do better about loving myself?
Yeah.
And you do look ahead. But I think that if we don't have a realistic, you know, the realistic approach of like healing is more about what am I doing today? I don't know what's going to be in the future. I don't know what my future healed self is going to be.
I love that so much because that's present moment.
Yeah.
That's so real. Yeah.
I have struggled a lot, both pre-sobriety and in sobriety, with lack of being grounded, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so future tripping, like what about in the future, living in the past, sitting right here where I am. Fortunately, I've been so in this conversation with you. Like, I haven't thought once about what I need to do after this or tomorrow or whatever. And I love it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of my favorite things that I do in life. And I love how grounded I get to get when doing these interviews because, I don't know that there's another time in life when I shut off that voice, but I've worked really hard to try and do more of that because it's not good. Like, it's not good for us to be like constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next?
What thing is like 1 foot in the future, 1 foot in the past, you're pissing on the present.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
So true.
Yeah.
So true. I need to think about that more often.
I know.
I don't want to sit and piss. Who wants to do that?
Some people pay to do that.
Oh gosh. I am one of those people that like you can just talk about something and I can't help but go there mentally and I just
I gave you an image.
Yeah. Oh my God, don't stop. Don't. I know you were like, what else can
just
I?
One more.
No, no.
Get out of here.
We're going to have to bleep the rest of it. No, I'm just kidding. Look, this is going to be one long episode. I'm like, welcome to Rooted Recovery Stories. Bleep.
That's actually hilarious.
They won't hear anything you say because it's going to be all bleeped out. What was that episode about? I don't know, but Patrick talked a lot about himself. Shit.
I feel you on the podcast thing. Like, I love...
You've got a podcast, too.
I've got a podcast.
Let's talk about it. What's the name of it?
It's called I'm Fine, It's Fine.
Oh.
Everything's fine. Me and my co-host, trauma therapist, Melanie Reese.
Heck yeah.
We talk to artists about their trauma and how they integrate it into their art.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love all parts of my job, but that is the one part of like you were saying, one thing that I do where I just show up and I'm like fully present. I'm not like thinking about jokes. I'm not, you know, like just talking to someone and hearing their story and being sitting with another human.
Yeah.
We don't do that a lot, I don't think.
Yeah.
As humans, we're all like, go, go, go.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
So it's so nice to just sit and connect.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It feels so good.
That was a nice breath.
It was. I felt like I let out like something I needed to let out.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
With that, I think my transition is, I've got two more questions I want to ask you. Do you have, like, what is the funniest bit of your stand-up that you can share with us?
Oh, that's
right now. What's your favorite? What just comes to mind, you know, it doesn't have to be your funniest because you probably want to like sell some tickets for that, you know, like.
Okay. It's hard because I'm a very physical comedian.
Mm.
So
do you need to touch me or?
Yes. But so I don't know if this is really going to translate, you know, but I talk about how my boyfriend is very attractive.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's the kind of hot where like girls will pretend we're not together just so maybe they can get a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like we'll be at a grocery store and they'll be like, we'll have a cart full of groceries and they'll be like, oh my God. Are you going to eat all that by yourself? And I'm just like, I just like stroll up like a troll, like the double stuffed Oreos are mine. And on stage, I can like limp the entire length of the stage and it's really fun. I love just like Jim Carrey is one of my favorites.
Yep.
And he always gave me the permission to be like goofy and silly. And especially as a woman, I feel like that's rare.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to be pretty and on point. And I just love like getting up there and being like, you know?
Yes. That is funny. That face you just made for sure.
Thanks.
Oh my God.
It makes the internet comments so nice. The men in my comments are so kind.
I bet.
They're always like, wow, I love women. You're so pretty. So it's really fun.
I can't wait to go read those.
Yeah.
Thank God for sarcasm. I mean, I just don't know what
I know.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's so great. Okay, so all right, I can't wait to come see. I've not gotten to see one of your shows live yet. So, do you have one coming up in Nashville?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
When?
April 30th.
That's so far away.
No, people keep saying that, but it's only like 3 months.
Oh. Dang.
See, in my mind, I'm future. I'm like, oh, it's coming up.
It is.
Gosh. April 30th, though.
April's almost summer. Like, and then I'm. I can't go. Okay, so April 30th. Sorry.
April 30th.
I'm not ready for. Yeah, life is moving too fast.
Put it in your calendar.
Oh, I will. I mean, my phone's where it should be, so I can't touch it right now. But, okay, so April 30th, where?
Zany's Nashville.
Heck yeah.
7 p.m.
You're headlining.
I'm headlining.
Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. I'm excited.
I'm excited. Are tickets on sale already?
They're on sale right now.
Oh.
Zany'sNashville.com.
Get mine today.
Yes. Please, seriously, if you're like, maybe I should go, just buy tickets now so I can stop thinking about it.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Actually, I'm not going to buy tickets now, so you have to work on.
How dare you?
I'm gonna call Zany's and be like, reserve me two tickets, but don't put it in the ticket reserve. Like, make sure it doesn't show that the tickets are bought. Because Amber needs
help.
It's to help her mental health. And they're all about supporting mental health at Zany's, so I know they'll do what I ask them to. So,
hilarious. That is a funny call. They're gonna be like, what?
Yeah, that'll be great. Okay, so we talked about this earlier. I love Fortune Fibster.
Yes.
You toured with her and did some comedy. Did you have a favorite thing about that?
Oh, God. I mean, she's just the most, everybody I tour with is amazing, but she's just the most down to earth, cool, freaking like I love watching her build her new hour. Yeah. Like, it's such a cool thing to see. I think my favorite part is when I first met her. I was like, oh my God, like, I used to watch her on Chelsea Lately. Like, this is like,
yes,
a person to me, you know? And first thing she said to me when she came in, she was like, I have all this cake. Do you want this cake? And I was like, hell yeah. We gonna vibe. We gonna vibe. You offering me a whole ass cake right now and you just met me? Love you.
That's awesome. What kind of cake was it?
Like a bundt thing.
Nice.
It was made by someone in the audience.
Love it.
So I was like, could be poison.
It could be poison. So did you eat it anyway though?
Yeah.
I can't say no to cake.
You don't like cake?
I can't say no to cake.
Oh yeah.
I'm an icing eater too. Are you?
Oh, that's the best part.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
When people tell me, they're like, oh, I eat around the icing.
I'm okay.
Like,
those are the
thank
people.
You for that information. That was very helpful in me determining what our relationship needs to look like.
I'll never talk to you again.
Okay. If you corner or middle piece.
Oh, I love a corner. I felt it in my vagina again. Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, no, because I don't have one.
Okay. But do you feel it in your groin sometimes when you make a decision and it's like,
I don't know if it's quite that visceral, but I think that, I don't know. I probably feel like I get head tingles.
Ah,
see, that's the addict in me, right? Like, yeah, I'm more of a head buzz kind of guy.
When you make a good decision, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine's just, yeah.
Opposite ends. Oh gosh. I feel like I'm 12 years old right now. This is great. I love feeling 12. People pay so much to people pay for that experience.
Stop.
Wait, I did not mean that in a section. I meant like anti-aging.
Too late.
No,
too late.
No.
It's too late.
I meant that for an anti-aging. I could
instantly. I went to like diaper play.
Oh God.
Was this your last question?
No, but I don't even know that we could transition to my last question because it's so wholesome. Okay, wait.
Just a baby. I can't ask. I can't answer the final question. I'm just a baby.
I'm dead.
Okay.
Okay, now that we've spoken to our inner child. Or somebody else's, I don't know.
Okay.
My question for you is, for that individual who has somehow made it through all the bleeps in this episode and found some encouragement in your story and identified and said, you know, I've struggled similarly. What, you know, word of encouragement would you like to leave with them?
Well, I'm right there with you, my friend. I think, and I'm speaking to myself with this too, get like familiar and fall in love with compassion because it's like with yourself, because it's like we were talking about a daily journey and, you know, going back, going forward, going, you know, the runaround. So just please have compassion with yourself. And also, again, speaking to myself, explore mirror work, which is something I want to do, of like looking, when you catch yourself in the mirror, say something kind to yourself, like look yourself in the eyes and be like, I love you. You're so pretty. You're whatever you need to hear. Cause we see mirrors a lot, you know, and like, we look at ourselves and then we bounce, but like take a moment with yourself, give yourself some love and just compassion.
Rather than the exterior. Like, talk to the interior.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're always doing the exterior crap in a mirror.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love that so much. Mm-hmm. That might be one of my favorite. I always ask this question to everybody at the end of our podcast episodes. And that might be one of my favorite answers that I've gotten.
Thank you. It's a good one, man.
And I think it applies to all of us. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. This has been, I knew it was going to be a great episode.
So fun.
So much freaking fun.
I enjoy you. I love you. I think you're great.
Same.
Great job.
I love
job.
That you live here.
I know.
I feel like a friendship is blossoming.
I
so.
Think so too.
Blossoming. What language am I? I'm 50. I'm a grandma.
Oh. I love it.
I love it too. Thank you so much, Amber Autry, one of my new favorite people and one hell of a comedian. I cannot wait to go see you live.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again so much. And thanks for all of you for sticking around through our chicanery. Again with the vocab, Patrick.
Chicanery?
Yeah.
That's not a word.
It is. Can I have someone tell us what chicanery means?
Is it like charcuterie?
No, it's not like charcuterie. Just say, ask Siri to define. Okay.
Oh. Oh, can I tell people where to follow me?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I mean, we were going to put it in the notes. Don't worry. But okay. I want you to say it.
Some people don't read the whole article.
That's true.
Though.
People like me. So yeah, let's hear it.
Please follow me on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Grubhub, LinkedIn, your dad's phone, at Amber Autry Comedy. That's AmberAutry Comedy. Thank you.
What if they don't know how to spell comedy?
Oh, then don't follow me, dude.
She doesn't mean that.
I don't,
okay.
Please.
Chicanery.
Oh, he's right. I don't think it was a word either.
It is a word.
Trickery to achieve a political, financial, or legal purpose. It doesn't feel like the right
use. No.
She said the use of trickery to achieve a political, financial, or legal purpose. But okay, so I always knew chicanery to be like, you know, mischief, you know, tomfoolery, just using more words
like...
that an older person would use. Gosh,
tomfoolery,
trickery. Thank you from the back, Corey with the win always. All right, thank you, Webster. We're getting somewhere. Any upcoming dates outside of Nashville?
Oh, 1,000%.
I thought you were going to say 1,000 dates. I was like, I don't know if we have enough time for all of this.
Yeah. So January, I don't know when this is coming out, but January 26th and 27th, I will be in Indianapolis at Helium.
Okay.
What comes next? February 16th, I'll be in Des Moines, Iowa. Listen, it's going up until April. So the best thing to do is go to my Instagram.
Yeah.
Hit the link in the bio. Please sign up for my text list. When I'm in your city, I'll let you know.
Sweet.
Directly.
That is exciting.
Yeah, and I'll send feet pics for free.
Oh my gosh. That's valuable.
The chicanery of it all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I got
the
you.
The more you know. I think of that. You remember that commercial, the star going across with a rainbow, and it's like, da-na-na-na.
Okay, voice.
Okay.
Okay, voice.
Can you get a little harmony? Da-na. Oh, no.
Please don't make me harmony.
All right. So this has been enough. I feel like we're just.
This has been enough. Get out.
No. I feel like everyone's tired of hearing me talk.
No.
At this point. Oh, we'll keep talking. But for those of you who've stuck around, I just want to close out by telling each and every one of you, reminding you that it is never too late to start loving yourself, and you're only ever one decision away from a completely different life. Thanks, and have a great day.
Oh, that was so much fun.
This podcast is brought to you by Promises Behavioral Health. If you or a loved one are struggling with trauma, addiction, or mental health, we are ready to answer your questions and help you take that next step. Call our admissions center at 888-648-4098 or visit us online at www.promises.com. Our team is ready and waiting to answer the call for help.